Today is the 4th of July, Independence Day. 234 years ago, there was a document written and signed that is very dear to every American, and we call that document the Declaration of Independence. And in that document, we as Americans declared our independence from England. And what we were saying and what we said is, we don't need your protection any longer. We don't any longer want to live by your rules, and we don't need you any longer to determine our future. We want to be independent, and we declare from this day forward, July 4th, 1776, that we are an independent nation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we find just the opposite. We find a man that was caught up to the third heaven and given a glimpse of paradise. While he was there, he heard unspeakable words. And as he described what happened and the result of it, he said, "Lest I become proud and be exalted above measure, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan to buffet me," not buffet, but buffet me. And he said, "Three times I asked the Lord to remove this thorn. Three times I asked the Lord to take away this messenger from Satan. And God said to me, 'No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to take this thorn away.' He said, 'My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.'" And this man, who we know as the Apostle Paul, said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For when I am weak, then am I strong." And what he was saying, or what he said, was this: I am dependent on Christ. Without him, I am nothing. I need his protection. I need his rules. I need his plan for me for the future. And in effect, what Paul was saying, I am issuing my own declaration. It is not a declaration of independence like we celebrate today, but it is a declaration of dependence. And so as we celebrate our independence, our declaration of independence today, I remind all of us, from me all to every person that's sitting in the room, I remind all of us of our dependency on God. And this morning, I want to make 3 points. Number one, I want to remind us and tell you that I, as well as you, are dependent on God for his protection. In 1776, we said to England, "We no longer need your army. We no longer need your navy. We will defend ourselves against any enemy that rises up against us." Today, I declare just the opposite when it comes to God. I need God's protection. I need for him to protect me. I need for him to protect me, first of all, from the devil. I need to protect for him to protect me from Satan. The book of Peter tells us that the devil is a roaring lion that walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And Satan's desire for me, as well as for you, is to separate us from our God. That's what he's been trying to do since the world began. That's what he tried to do in the Garden of Eden, and his plan hadn't changed. That's what he tries to do today, to separate the created from the Creator, to separate us from God. He wants to destroy our life. He would like nothing better for all of us to spend eternity with him in hell. And I want to remind you this morning that your preacher and you yourself are no match for the devil. He has been in this business before the world was created. I mean, in heaven, he rose up against God, and a third of the angels were separated from their God, from their Creator, by the rebellion that Satan led in heaven. He's an experienced fighter. In the book of Jude, verse 9, when Michael, the archangel, the Bible says he was contending with Satan about the body of Moses. The Bible says that Michael didn't bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee. The Lord rebuke thee." Now look, Michael is the archangel that has led and will lead the angels of God into battle. I mean, he is the captain. He is the warrior archangel. And if Michael was no match for Satan, if Michael said, "I can't fight Satan by myself, I am going to depend on God to rebuke him," then who am I and who are you to think that we can withstand Satan? We cannot do it. What we need to do is claim that verse in 1 John that says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And he that is within us as Christians is the Holy Spirit of God. And my protection depends not on my strength, not on my ability, but on the greatness of my God. I am dependent on God for my protection from Satan. I am dependent on God for my protection from this world. You know, this world is a dangerous place. There's so many things that can bring harm and that are hurtful. Nature, sickness and disease, famine and drought, enemies and terrorists. I can't defend myself against those things. In fact, and most of the time, I can't even tell when I'm in danger. We went to my mom and dad yesterday, and Aaron went, and Adam and Chantel went along. They have decided that I cannot take him anywhere by myself until he's able to talk. And their logic is, since he's able to talk, he'll be able to tell them what we have done. And I reminded them yesterday, well, when he can talk, he can also tell me what you do. But anyhow, we went. And my mom and dad's house is a relatively safe place. But for him, there were some dangers there. There were steps, and there were streets, and there were table edges, and there were knives, and there were great uncles, my brothers. And he didn't even know that any danger existed. I mean, he just ran around like he was in the safest place in the world. And he was, because he had grandpa and mom and dad to protect him. And just like him, most of the time, most of us don't even know we're in danger. We don't know that danger is lurking, but God knows. And we need him to protect us from the world. We also need him to protect us from ourselves. The Bible describes human beings like sheep. And without even thinking, we wander away and leave the protection and the provision of the fold and of the shepherd. I need the good shepherd to lead me beside the still water. I need the good shepherd to make me lay down in green pastures. I need his rod and his staff to comfort and protect me. And there are some foolish people, even today, that declare their independence from God and say, "I can handle it myself. I can handle the devil myself, and I can handle the world myself, and I can handle myself myself." But they are fools because they cannot. And today I declare my dependence on my God for his protection. Number two, I am dependent on God today for his rules. You know, most people, you think, when you think about a message like this, you know, you would say, well, the preacher's going to preach about how we are dependent on God for our provision, the things that we need. We are dependent on God for his blessing. I want to tell you this morning, I am dependent on God for the rules that he establishes in his book and gives to us. You see, in 1776, we said as a nation to England, "We no longer need your laws." We no longer need your courts. We no longer need your regulations. We threw off somebody else telling us what to do. We threw off those that would set boundaries for us as to how we need to operate in. Today, I declare just the opposite. I need God's rules. I need for him to tell me what is right and what is wrong. I'll just stop and think about it for a minute. Set aside God. Set aside the Bible. How would we determine what's right and what's wrong? Just think about that for a second. Without God and without the Bible, how would we determine what's right and what's wrong? You say, well, we will let the majority decide. If the majority of people decide something right, it must be right. Well, I will remind you this morning that the majority didn't get on the ark. Huh? There were only 8 people that got on the ark. If the majority would have voted and said, well, it's right for us not to get on the ark, and we would have decided with the majority that they were right, we'd all be dead. I would remind you, it's the majority that built the Tower of Babel. And so, our track record as far as letting the majority decide what's right, it's not very good. So, some people might say, well, all right, so the majority doesn't know. What we need to do is elect leaders. We need to elect presidents and congressmen and judges. And surely, if the majority elects good leaders, they can tell us what's right and what's wrong. And I would point out to you this morning that our track record there is not very good either. Because it's our leaders that took prayer out of the public schools and said abortion is okay. And so, I need God. I am dependent on God and his book to teach me the absolute right and the absolute wrong. And a righteous God is the only one that can do that. I need his boundaries. I need the lines that he draws around my life in that book and says, look, if you will operate in these boundaries, if you will stay within these boundaries, and by the way, I need the punishment that comes when I step outside those boundaries. I need the spanking and the chastisement that comes from God when I step out across the lines that he's drawn about my life. And I know, I can imagine some of the teenagers. I can hear, what they might be thinking now. Not me. My mom and dad draw those lines around my life, and they've got it so restricted that I can hardly move. I tell you, there's nothing new under the sun. I felt that way when I was a teenager. I mean, I didn't. I Darwin, you did, didn't you? I can tell by looking. Oh, yeah. But, when God, right, Carolyn? Yeah, okay. But when our moms and dads drew those lines around our life when we were teenagers, we wanted to rebel. We wanted to step over the line. But as you get older, you realize that those boundaries are there for your protection. Those boundaries are there for your good. And I need the boundaries of God that he puts around my life to keep me right, to keep me safe, to keep me growing and maturing. I am dependent on God for his rules. And then number 3, I am dependent on God for his plan for the future. In 1776, we said to England, you no longer need to chart our course. You no longer need to plan our future. You no longer need to control our destiny. We'll take those things into our own hands. We'll devise our own course. We'll plan our own future. We'll control our own destiny. And today, I declare when it comes to God, just the opposite. I need God to chart my course. I need God to plan my future. I need God to control my destiny. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what I need to be prepared for tomorrow. I don't even know what I will need tomorrow. But God does. Why would I, who can't see tomorrow at all, think that I could do a better job in planning for it than one who knows exactly in detail what is going to happen tomorrow? Why would I think I could do a better job than he could? Not only does he know what's going to happen tomorrow, he loves me. And he loves you. As Angie sang about, oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you. And he has a plan for our life. Plan for our life from start to finish. Why would I want my independence in this area? Why would I want my future in my hands? Why not give it to the one that knows the future, that loves me, that already has a plan for my life, and say, God, I am dependent on you for my future. And it's just not my life on this earth, but it's my eternity. You see, God does have a plan for each of us. He has a plan for your tomorrow. And the next day, and the next day, and for every day the rest of your life. And then he has a plan for when this life ends. And that plan is for you and I to go to heaven and live with him forever. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. But see, there's a problem. And that problem is sin. The Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. And that sin gets in the way of God's plan for our life. And that sin gets in between us and God. And there's nothing that we can do about that sin. The Bible said, not of works, lest any man should boast. But before the first sin was committed, before the first sinner was born, before we knew anything at all about God and about sin, our God already had a plan to take care of our sin. And that plan we pictured in the Lord's Supper this morning. He sent his Son to live among men, to live the life that we live. And he lived it perfectly, tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And then God allowed us to take him and nail him to a cross. And as he hung on the cross, God laid on him every one of my sins and every one of your sins. And he paid the price that we owed. So God is able to offer to every person the gift of eternal life. And today, even though I am an independent American and celebrate the Declaration of Independence, I am a dependent Christian. Because I depend on God's plan for my future. I depend on his rules. I depend on his protection. And so we celebrate today the Declaration of Independence, as we should. But we also need to realize on this day that we celebrate our independence that we are dependent on God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this word. And I pray, Father, that we would realize, you would remind us all that without you, we are nothing. That your grace is sufficient. It's all that we need. And Father, I pray you would remind us that we need to be dependent on you. I pray if there's somebody here that's trying to get to heaven some other way other than Jesus, that they'll realize this morning that they're on the wrong path. That the path that they've set out on will not get them to heaven. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And Father, I pray you'll help them realize this morning that the path they're going down leads to hell. They need to turn and they need to come to Christ. I pray for Christians that are here, Father. I pray that we would give you our future. We would give you the plan for our life. And we would look to you for guidance. We would look to you for help in making our decisions. We would look to you for the future. Thank you for protecting us, Father. Thank you for giving us this book that puts boundaries around us, that helps us know how to operate. Please bless this time of invitation. If there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus, help them be the first to walk the aisle, and let's take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. If there's somebody here that needs to be baptized, I pray you'll help them to come. Somebody here that you've led to join the church, I pray you'd help them come. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.